22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3, I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD,
doctor,
now can you tell me what's ailing me,
doctor?
You said,
and welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here in Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. That's what we're going to do. Hey, Frank, don't forget to send me shows later today, if you can, sweetheart, before the weekend wraps. Hand gets here. Well, the week is wrapping up. It is. And thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. It's all about empowerment here, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to be talking about the first part of the show, something based on your doctor's advice. What do you suppose that could be, Frank? Well, it could be a myriad of things, and we're going to get to that. And we have a brief quack report. It's just one thing, but it'll take me a minute to explain it. And before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time because it grows short. And let's see, we got our devotional here. And here it is in Romans chapter 5. By whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and glory of God. And in Psalms 146, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help and whose hope is in the Lord his God. Absolutely. You know, I mean, I feel really sad for folks that don't have faith and belief. You know, they must feel very alone and stressed, especially now. You know, our blessed hope is in God, and we trust in him, and he's on his throne, and he's in charge, and he's wiser than we are. We may not understand everything, but seek the Lord's face and mind the time, and he will bless you with an understanding beyond your own comprehension. And he is the way. Well, without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, hey, guess what? Confidential Pfizer document exposes FDA's cover-up of the vaccine deaths with the COVID vaccine. Oh, my goodness. You know, thanks to the efforts of a group called the Public Health and Medical Professionals and for Transparency, they were able to get a confidential document on Pfizer showing the FDA knew early in 2021 that their mRNA vaccine would be detrimental to people's health, causing spontaneous abortions and damaging three times more women than men. So one confidential document in particular was part of the court-ordered release of the FDA files. The FDA fought against that, claiming agency should have some sort of protection and maybe 55 years to release that information, but of course the judge disagreed. And so they have released 500 documents, and they're going to release 500 per month, from my understanding. And the first batch of documents showed a document entitled Cumulative Analysis of Post-Authorization Adverse Event Reports. And the document reveals that within just 90 days after the EAU releases the Pfizer mRNA vaccine, the company was already aware of a voluntary adverse reaction reports, and it revealed over 1,200 deaths and over 42,000 adverse reports describing 158,000 reactions, adverse reactions. The report originated from several countries that included the United States, the UK, Italy, Germany, France, Portugal, Spain, and other nations. Now, aside from the general disorders, the number one most frequently reported category of complaint from this vaccine, the adverse reaction was nervous system disorders, clocking in at over 25,000 of them. So 25,000 people affected with neurological disorders. Now, those are serious. Those are pretty serious. So it's not like, you know, you go to the pediatrician's office and they say, oh, don't worry, the DPT, the MMR, maybe one in 100,000 kids will have a neurological disorder. Well, don't worry about it. Well, it is a worry if it's your kid, you know, but 25,957 in their initial report. Okay. To the shock of many observers on this report, when they dug into this thing, Pfizer told the FDA under the safety concerns, sections 3.1 and 0.2, that the mRNA injection would cause, quote, vaccine-associated enhanced diseases, including vaccine-associated enhanced respiratory disease. So under this report, the FDA was also given a report titled Missing Information. So what this means is Pfizer told the FDA under their safety concerns, sections 3, that the mRNA injection could cause safety date concerns for younger individuals, younger than 12. It was just information they didn't have yet, and they also didn't have any information on infants, toddlers. This means the FDA knew that the vaccine could sicken and kill patients who were later infected with COVID because of the vaccine-associated enhanced disease for respiratory disease viruses. So the vaccine increases your risk of getting a respiratory disease, and they knew that. So some of the other events, reactions, were thrombosis, neurological events, loss of vision and hearing, and fetus deaths in pregnant women, and more. What do you think of that, Frank? Did you hear about that? Well, I mean, I can understand why doctors may hesitate to recommend the shot now. What do you think? Can you say lawsuit? What'd you say, Frank? I didn't catch that. Well, that kind of wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. If you said something, it didn't come through, hon. Anyway, let's just go ahead and, well, Frank's thinking over there. Let's just go ahead and jump into, based on doctor's advice, you know, if you go to your doctor and you ask the doctor for advice, you know, patients act on that advice, typically. Some people go home and mull it over. Some people go get a second and third opinion. But, you know, people do look at their doctor and ask for advice. So new developments in the COVID saga have kind of sprung up suddenly here, in which doctors are not recommending their patients get the COVID shot. Yep, more and more doctors are doing that. Now, some media resources are suggesting that doctors would never say that, and it's really the patients using their doctor as an excuse not to accept the shot. However, growing evidence is revealing that doctors are now taking a wait-and-see approach on the COVID shot and the mandates, because of what's going on in the courts and these documents being revealed. So as few religious and medical exemptions are being accepted, people are now forced with a decision to get the shot or stand their ground. That's their choice at this moment. Well, let me read you this quote. This is by Dr. Kimberly Blumenthal. She's an immunologist and drug allergy researcher at Massachusetts General Hospital who says, I do not get a sense that some doctors may either recommend against vaccination for COVID or support a patient's view of not being vaccinated. So that's her ground. But according to her, she says if a patient is allergic to certain ingredients in the shot, they are told to just select a different shot from another manufacturer. So what this means is that patients who are allergic and have an increased risk of dying from the vaccine are not exempt, and neither are pregnant women and those with high-risk pregnancy issues, and also patients with autoimmune or autocompromised health conditions, or anyone that has the natural immunity for COVID-19 because they recovered from it. So all those people don't get exemptions. And so that essentially means no one qualifies for an exemption. That's what that actually means. Let's see, Dr. Blumenthal goes on to say, several medical practices have reported that zero people have met the criteria for a medical exemption. Oh, yeah. Nobody's qualifying. I guess if you're dead, you qualify. What do you think, Frank? No pulse, yeah, you're exempt. She goes on, oh, no, this is Celia Grounder. She's an MD of infectious disease. She's at New York University, who says this. Patients are using chronic medical conditions as their reason not to be vaccinated with the COVID vaccine. However, those are usually the people who should immediately get vaccinated due to their high risk for getting COVID. So that's medical stance on that. No exemptions, no excuse. You need it regardless. Bam, just get it. Now, Dr. Grounder suggests that if doctors are not encouraging patients to get the COVID-19 shot, it is because they do not want a patient-doctor confrontation and because she says, quote, you're not going to get sued for not vaccinating somebody. You're going to get sued for complications if you do vaccinate somebody. Well, why risk it? That's a good question. Why are some doctors, you know, risking telling their patients, maybe, you know, you don't want to get it? Fine. You know, don't get it. Or maybe even tell some patients that, let's say, have an eczema condition, I wouldn't get it if I were you because you may have an issue. But people may be asking you, why would private practice doctors risk the backlash and trouble and getting into trouble by telling their patients not to be vaccinated with COVID shot? Well, a majority of these physicians won't risk it, but some will. So the reason is their state licensing boards tend to govern their ability to practice, and not all of these states have the same policies and sanctions. So if the state boards have physicians on them, which they normally do, doctors are not really swift to sanction their own colleagues, especially if they held them in high esteem. So the medical boards also respond to complaints, and a patient that hesitates to get the shot won't report their doctor who hesitates to recommend the shot. And there are also no set standards with educational and employment establishments on required COVID shots, really. Some employers and schools may accept allergic exemptions while others may not. So there's this wiggle room for now, and students that, you know, hit a brick wall on one exemption may transfer to another school that accepts their exemption. Likewise, you know, employees can change jobs. They can change employers. So the landscape seems a bit different for hospital professionals, though, who are intimidated to keep their opinions to themselves and tell people to go ahead and get the shot. Now, however, this may change quickly with the court demand release of the Pfizer documents on their vaccine research and also communications to the FDA. Now, initial documents are showing Pfizer knew and shared their concerns with the FDA on the mRNA shot before it went to mandate use. So we'll see how this shakes out. Right, Frank? But here's something interesting. Some of the medical professionals are electing to quit their jobs in medicine rather than get the shot. And some of the medical people in the medical field are kind of baffled why their colleagues would do that. Why, you have a good career going, why would you quit? But here are some of the reasons they gave. The vaccines were made too fast and are not effective or safe. I do not think the benefits outweigh the harm with these new vaccines. The vaccines produce serious side effects, including infertility. Pregnancy was a factor for some of these female health professionals as well. And some said, I won't be forced against my will to take an experimental treatment. Others said, I've worked the front line of COVID for over a year without a vaccine, but now it's not acceptable. And one other reason was vaccine mandates are a violation of human rights, and I won't be part of it. Wow. Now, here is an interesting quote by Jane Orrant, MD, Director of Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. She actually testified to Congress, I believe Senator Johnson's hearings last spring. And she said, a public health threat is the rationale for the policy on mandatory vaccines. How much of the threat is required, though, to justify forcing people to accept government-imposed risks? And this is a serious intrusion into individual liberty, autonomy, and parenting decisions. Yeah, because they don't really know what the risks are in entirety, do they? They're asking you to take a risk, but nobody knows what they really are. They know some of the risks. Obviously, people are showing up with serious adverse events. So Dr. Orrant goes on to say, it seems to me reckless to be pushing people to take risks when you don't even know what all the risks really are. People's rights need to be respected. Where is my body, my choice when this comes to this issue? And that's a good point. You know, people are saying with the abortion issue, you know, my body, my choice, which brings me to the statistics on that. More babies have died from abortion than people have been from COVID. So where's the pandemic on abortion, see? Now, Dr. Orrant finally says, why is Dr. Anthony Fauci, the government's infectious disease specialist, dictating care for 340 million Americans? Yeah. Why does he get to do that? I mean, he can't evaluate 340 million people That's kind of like malpractice, isn't it? If he's saying everybody needs to get the shot, he doesn't know everybody's individual circumstance, medical history. That's kind of like malpractice, I would think. But, you know, these are all things to consider. What'd you say, Frank? Yeah. And if they were killing themselves, my body, my choice may fly concerning abortion. Yeah, it flies for that, but just only for that. Well, haven't you noticed certain fractions of our government, you know, pick and choose what they like to uphold their agenda, but it's not good for anybody else? You know? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. The Bible talks about it. We are in the evil day where hypocrisy will be the norm, and we live in perilous times where there'll be no justice. And there'll be lots of deception. See, God told us about that, so he wanted us to be prepared for it. So these are all things really to consider, and if several thousand physicians and nurses and scientists are revolting against the idea of mandating an experimental COVID shot, then it's a good reason to take pause, you know? Their instincts are right. So listening to their reasons of doubt on this experimental treatment, the non-transparent actions of the drug companies, the government, and the FDA, they're also very good reasons to put the brakes on. And many scientists looking into this treatment have also reported serious warnings about the shot, and they all can't be wrong. Statistically, that's improbable. What'd you say, Frank? Like the Congress is exempted from mandatory jabs. Well, like one virologist said that there's like three serum lots of COVID going around, 1, 2, and 3. One is a saline solution. The lot numbers that have 2 on them is a weakened version of the COVID serum, and then the one that has a 3 is the super killer shot, according to her. It kills people. So that's interesting if that's true. But I did know that saline was in the mix because the drug companies were doing their largest clinical trial with people without, you know, informed consent participating in it. And they had to have, you know, they had to have a control group in order to show the FDA, look at our numbers, you know, nobody's really getting affected by this and blah, 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 blah. But, of course, we know that's all kind of a dog and pony show for the media and for the public to kind of lie to them. Let's kind of say it like it is. But, you know, you want to use caution. The word from some physicians is the very least to say. They say use caution with this when you're embracing an experimental treatment. Use caution, or maybe just avoid it like the plague. Huh? So be prepared to stand your ground if you're going to refuse this shot, as, you know, the other side's going to attack those who refuse. And they're trying to try to pit those, as you see, that did get vaccinated against the unvaccinated, and this split, if you will, in this villainization and criminalization of people that just want to, you know, exercise their God-given and, you know, constitutional rights. See? So, stand your ground. You know, your instincts are right. You know, I always look at people say it's my gut feeling. Your instincts, your gut feeling, whatever you want to call it, is really, your consciousness that's connected to God, he's telling you, use caution. Stay away from it. Well, that's just my take. And I believe if you read scripture, you'll understand God created a very sophisticated immune system, and you don't want to do anything to disrupt that. And he's telling us from Genesis to Revelation that his herbs actually assist in the healing of the nations. They're for the service of man. And God can't lie. So don't do the opposite of what God recommends you to do, because it'll always turn out bad. Always. It'll be such a regret of the like you'll regret forever. And a lot of what is happening with the results coming from some scientists who are leaking stuff out and they're speaking out, they're saying that it creates an it can create an autoimmune response, the COVID shot, but it also can create what is called immune system where it doesn't have memory, immune system memory issues. It's kind of a memory wipe. So your immune system stores antibodies, but this gives it kind of immune system amnesia where you can't use the antibodies. So that's bad. Where you create and store all these antibodies all your life, and it's used to protect you and to for your immune system to use adaptogen cells to help defend you. And then if the vaccine wipes all that out, if they're correct, that's very bad. That's very bad. So you're risking immunity there. What'd you say, Frank? Sounds like more advanced AIDS. Well, I'm just saying, didn't you just hear me say that, you know, even people with autoimmune compromised health issues, that's AIDS. They don't get an exemption. They're told all the more reason to get the shot. Crazy. They've always gotten an exemption from influenza shots. Right? It's just insanity to me. It's like I've never seen the like. And I think it's just going to get stranger and stranger. So be prepared for that. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have pandemic kits, heart attack packs, snake bite kits, influenza, pneumonia stuff. You name it. It's there. And these are all herbs God's given us. And they have a free catalog they'll send you if you want to give them a call. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. If you want to check them out online, ThePowerHerbs.com. Now, a lot of their products are up there, and they have reviews from people who have used their stuff, so you can see. They actually produce this professional strength formulation that you don't get in stores, and you will not find their product in stores. So you can buy direct from them. For years they provided product to practitioners, but now you can buy direct from them and be empowered. If you're on their website, do sign up. Take advantage of their free online newsletters that go out each week, the American Survival and Health Quest, and share that information with family and friends. Just, you know, pass on the empowerment, because that's what it's about. People want to be empowered, Frank. They feel helpless and they want to be empowered. They just don't know how to do that, what to do, what to use. Well, the folks at Apothecary Herbs are good at that. So give them a call, 866-229-3663, and get that free catalog. You can also download it off their website if you want. I got to take a little break, but we'll have more on the other side. Be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. easy to use, and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. We're back here on Herb Talk. Thanks, Frank. All right, we're going to be talking about for the next few minutes here, heartburn, because, you know, we're in that season where we're feasting and we're eating things, you know, lavishly, rich foods, lots of alcohol, gravy, you know, why not? It's the holidays. Well, let's talk, and people just kind of fall back on their heartburn meds and stuff like that, Tums and antacids and things when they overdid it. So I thought we'd talk about some of these heartburn issues for a little bit and see what we can do about that. A lot of Americans do suffer from heartburn and other types of digestive complaints, but it's estimated 15 million Americans suffer from heartburn alone. So they often prescribed a lot of heartburn drugs like proton pump inhibitors. Those are, you know, various named drugs, Nexium, Prozac, Prevacid. And the FDA estimates that 1 in 14 Americans are using one of these proton pump inhibitor drugs. Now, physicians also prescribe them for things like ulcers as well. And research now is indicating that heartburn medicines put patients at risk of other types of diseases. Now, some physicians are recognizing that nourishing the body with better diet is the way to correct digestive disorders. So we're going to take a look and see how we can protect ourselves. So let's look at some of the side effects of the drug therapies. The heartburn meds prescribed today come in, well, they offer various side effects, and your proton pump inhibitor drugs tend to drain the human system of minerals like magnesium, which can cause muscle weakness and even cramping. A lot of your heart drugs do the same thing. So when minerals are dumped from the system, it can prohibit the absorption of other nutrients, causing malnutrition and even bone weakness. Another risk factor while taking these drugs is an increase in risk of contracting a serious bacterial infection. Things like food poisoning or salmonella, Clostridium difficile, a bacteria that causes colitis, and even pneumonia. So that is all something to really consider if you're on proton pump inhibitors. All right, let's look. In 2016, a study appeared in the journal Gut and Liver. It reported that patients taking the PPI drugs were almost 7% more likely to get colitis. So this is a lot of inflammation in the digestive system. They reported that the drugs reduce the stomach acids and allow a lot of bacteria to multiply. Now, in January 2016, this study in Scotland that was published in the British Medical Journal of Clinical Pharmacology also stated a lot of these popular proton pump inhibitor drugs cause colitis and intestinal infections. So patients also complain they get a lot of withdrawal symptoms when they try to stop taking these drugs. And a lot of these patients find that when they do stop the drugs, they have digestive symptoms worse than when they started the drug. So that's called rebound effect. If you're in the drug field, that's what that means. Here is a quote from, this is Marcella Lafayette, Portland, Oregon. No, this is a patient, not a doctor, a patient, Marcella. She says, I can't seem to get off the drug because when I do, I experience severe stomach pain and I can't eat anything. It feels like I have a knife in my gut and it's really painful. And then Dr. John Clark, he's a gastroenterologist at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. He says, the teaching for many years was that these drugs were quite safe. But there is data now emerging that is suggesting your proton pump inhibitors may not be as safe as we think they are. Well, that would mean drug companies withheld information, wouldn't you think, Frank? Just like they withheld from the public on this experimental vaccine. Happens all the time. Now, here is a Professor Thomas McDonnell. He's with the British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology. He says, although acid suppression therapy, your antacid drugs, is often considered relatively free from side effects, the findings are suggesting there are significant adverse gastrointestinal consequences when you use these drugs that causes considerable illness. End of quote. Yeah. Well, the truth is coming out, and it's going to come out. That's what happens. The truth does come out. And this was a February 2015 report in the German Center for Neurodegenerative Diseases. In Bonn, they published the findings in the Journal of Neurology, and they said heartburn drugs increase a patient's risk by 44% of developing dementia. Woo. So although the report did not come out and really say there was a direct use, or they didn't accuse the drugs directly, they just said there was suggested evidence that it causes dementia. Association was the word. There's an association. So animal research studies also showed that rats were, if they were given the PPI proton pump inhibitor drugs, it increased the protein levels in their brain, the beta amyloids that they suspect causes dementia. So the protein is said to cause dementia in humans, so this is how this came to be. Similar reports, the University of Pittsburgh also got reprinted up in the Journal of American Medical Association, and John Clark comments and says patients should not use the heartburn drugs for longer than a few weeks, but doctors are recommending they stay on them even though they are not meant to be on for long-term treatment. According to Dr. Morgan Graham, also at John Hopkins. He says Americans spend $10 billion in proton pump inhibitors annually, and an estimated 70% of the prescriptions are not warranted. 25% of the patients are put on the thing long term, and then they have trouble discontinuing use. Oh, well, you know, there's the money, the $10 billion reason it's not really explain to patients, hey, you're going to have infections and you're going to have withdrawal problems. That's why it's not told to them. Half the truth is still a whole lie, right, Frank? Here's a quote from Dr. Adam Schoenfeld, University of California. A large number of patients are taking PPIs for no clear reason. Often, they're remote symptoms of heartburn that has since been resolved, and in these patients, PPI should be discontinued. So why are they still getting prescriptions for them? A year later now, April 2016, University of Pittsburgh School of Health Sciences presented their findings on heartburn drugs. They said it increases the risk of protein interactions associated with schizophrenia. Their work did get published in the Journal of Nature. So, okay, so now we've got infectious cystitis, colonitis, we've got dementia, and we've got withdrawal effects, pain upon withdrawal, and now we have schizophrenia. What else may we find? Kidney risk. January 2016, a report in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA Journal, stated your PPIs can put your kidneys at risk. The research was conducted at John Hopkins in Baltimore. Their control group was followed for 14 years. But within 10 years, the assessment showed kidney disease and kidney risk was about 15.6% likely. Yet another study, February 2017, at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis found patients that take PPIs could experience what they described as silent kidney damage. They reported that more than 50% of patients on PPIs develop a sudden onset of chronic kidney damage and then kidney failure. Their findings did get published in the February 2017 Journal of Kidney International, which Drs. Zaid Ali, MD, quoted to say, our findings indicate kidney problems can develop slightly and gradually over time, eroding kidney function and leading to long-term kidney damage and renal failure. Patients should be cautioned about the use of PPIs and tell their doctor. Physicians must pay careful attention to kidney function of patients while taking PPIs. Wonder how many doctors are. Kind of sneaks up on you all of a sudden. Bam! Mm-hmm. Drug-induced disease. That's what it is. According to Dr. Ali, the symptoms of kidney failure can be reduced urine output, fatigue, and swelling in the legs and ankles. Oh, is there anything else these drugs can do to you? Well, yes. I'm so glad you've asked. It's stroke. Studies keep pouring in on the devastating fallout of long-term use of heartburn medicines. So November 2016, the American Heart Association, in conjunction with the Danish Heart Foundation in Copenhagen, Denmark, stated that PPIs increase the risk of ischemic stroke or blood vessel obstruction in the brain. This type of stroke that is most common, and these clots are usually the cause of blocking artery flow. Their research is suggesting that stroke risk is really higher when taking PPIs. Hey, Frank, how many people that got the COVID shot are taking PPIs and may get blood clots? Interesting. You know, those two things together could just push people over the cliff. So what they said in their report, stroke risk increased 21% when you take a PPI. At lowest dose, your PPIs remained a slight risk for stroke at the lowest dose, and then at the highest dose, your PPI stroke risk was 30 to 94%. Whew. Let's just throw a COVID shot in there, see what happens. So the researchers caution PPI users, however, most of the proton pump inhibitors now have been made available over the counter. So they're really easy to get. Here's what Thomas Schess has, MD, Danish Heart Foundation in Copenhagen, says. At one time, the PPIs were thought to be safe and without major side effects. This study further questions the cardiovascular safety of these drugs. End of quote. Now, the Houston Methodist Research Institute did conduct some research in May 2016, and in their report on the heartburn drugs, they said it accelerates vascular aging and increases the risk of the following diseases: heart disease and heart attack, kidney disease and dementia. And throw in a COVID vaccine, and what do you got? The same kind of thing. And so, can medicine say, well, it wasn't the COVID shot, it was your proton pump inhibitor, or vice versa? I don't know. According to their research, the PPIs speed up the aging of the blood vessels, causing the problem. Their work was published in the Journal of Circulation Research, and the researchers point out that although these drugs are now sold over the counter, that they are, they weren't approved by the FDA for long-term use, making approximately 70% of the products sold inappropriate for use. Wasn't approved for that. So people just go grab it now, and that's long. I mean, they're going to decide. It's not their doctor deciding. It's over the counter. They just go get it. Not approved for long-term use, folks. Now, John Cook, MD, Houston Methodist Research Institute, says the PPIs increase the likelihood of heart attack in adults by 16 to 21%. Oh, man. Yeah, pass the turkey, and I'll take a proton pump inhibitor later. No. I don't think so. There's more. Yeah, it's just a coming. It's not going to stop. Birth defects also on the list. November 2010, Boston University Medical Center had a study on PPIs, and they increased the risk of birth defects during early pregnancy. So the results of their findings were published in the New England Journal of Medicine. The study did report that the birth defects seemed to be broad and did not list an increased risk for a specific birth defect. The drug seems to have very different effects on fetuses, and they pointed out that the women taken PPIs in the weeks leading up to a pregnancy, but not during a pregnancy, seemed to also have an increased risk of birth defects. So that means the drug's still in your system for a while. The University of Edinburgh, UK, the researchers there, also in Finland, they published findings January 2017. That PPIs, when taken during pregnancy, increase the risk of childhood asthma. Previous scientific reports did warn that your proton pump inhibitors can increase the risk of allergies in unborn babies, increased because the drugs seem to impact a baby's immune system. And they concluded that pregnant women taking heartburn drugs will increase their child's risk by one-third. And their findings did get published in the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunity in 2017. From that report, Dr. Aziz Shekhar, Director of Asthma, UK Center, said that our study reports an association between the onset of asthma in children and their mother's use of acid-suppressing medications during pregnancy. We could go on, but how do we fix this, right? Good question, right? We are what we eat, and obviously when we have proton pump problems, when you're taking a proton pump inhibitor, it's designed to shut off the acid pumps. So we have to ask ourselves, why are the acid pumps coming on? What are we doing to do that, that causes that? Well, the cause of digestive problems is really a diet that's rich in alkaline-type foods and mucusy-type foods like white refined flour and cow's milk products. So this encourages an overproduction of acids. The body's trying to compensate the alkalinity. So old-time rural doctors and even herbalists tend to suggest change in the diet and add more acid foods to help balance the pH, which would reduce the amount of acids in the digestive system and the acids it produces. So foods that would help would balance the pH would be pickled beets, fermented cabbage like kimchi, and sauerkraut. Okay, those are types of fermented foods. Now, herbs that can help also with digestion, slippery elm, it helps to soothe digestive tracts and stops even diarrhea if that's a problem. Marshmallow root helps soothe the stomach lining. Fennel seed removes bloating and gas issues. Gentian root helps prepare the stomach enzymes for food and moves food out of the stomach in a timely manner and prevents overeating. And gentian root's one of those herbs you want to take like a half hour before you eat. Apple cider vinegar also improves digestion and more hydrochloric acid in the digestive tract helps you extract more protein from food. So does sun-dried Celtic salt. If you're using a sun-dried salt, which doesn't promote hypertension, helps you digest food better anyway. So if you're by eating less refined foods and more raw foods, the body is able to help fix this imbalance. And please don't overcook foods. Overcooked foods don't help. Let me give you an example. Oatmeal. Oh, oatmeal. You know, that gluey, sticky stuff? It was like cement, you know? And it's bad for the colon. Here's how you make oatmeal and benefit from it. You'll get more protein out of it. You want rolled oats. You don't want the quick oats. You don't want the quick ones. You want rolled oats. Take the 20 minutes to make it. Well, it doesn't take 20 minutes, really, the way I'm going to tell you. So get you some rolled oats, bring the water to a boil. When you put the oats in, take it off the heat. I mean, you can throw in raisins and nuts if you want. Stir it all in there, but take it off the heat, and then take the lid that's for the pot lid and put it on the pot, but kind of make it crooked so steam escapes, so you're, you know, letting steam come out. And let it sit there 4 minutes. Okay, then you drain away the water, and the oats are just tenderized enough, but they're not cooked long enough to release their mucilaginous matter. So when you overcook oats, they release this gluteny, mucusy stuff, and it's hard on the colon. So it's hard on digestion, but you'll get more out of your protein and nice things out of your oats if you just do it like that for 4 minutes. Yummy. And if you get a little bloaty and gassy with rolled oats, just take a little fennel. Take a little fennel. So you know, watch what's going in the system, because what we're putting in the system is your body's reacting. You know? And a lot of times we're allergic to foods and just, okay, so, and if you get heartburn, some foods can, relax or anesthetize almost the little muscle called the sphincter muscle at the end of the esophagus at the top of the stomach. So when you eat food and the food goes down the esophagus and into the stomach, and then the muscle closes, and then all the acids start digesting your food. On occasion, if that muscle kind of loosens and pops open, then a lot of those acids, those digestive acids, kind of slosh up into the esophagus, and it can give you that heartburn-y feeling, okay? They call it acid reflux, GERD, all that stuff. Well, some of the things that make that muscle weak or relaxed and it kind of opens would be like alcohol and chocolate. Watch the chocolate, especially, you know, who doesn't love a brownie or a chocolate chip cookie right before bed? Midnight snack kind of thing. Chocolate will relax that muscle, and you'll have heartburn all night. Okay? So If you have heartburn already, avoid chocolate. Okay? I know it's kind of hard, holiday season coming up, especially when Valentine's Day rolls around, but do yourself a favor. No chocolate. No chocolate. And I've been telling people that are constipated a lot. People have chronic constipation. I said, do you eat chocolate? I love chocolate. Well, don't eat it. It slows transit time down, and it'll constipate you. So chocolate, although it's yummy, not very good for the digestion. So if you kind of go to the Mediterranean diet where you're limiting the animal meat portions to 4 ounces and you're getting a lot of omega-3 fatty acids and fresh fruits and vegetables, your pH is going to balance. It's just no way it's not going to balance. Okay? So acid foods will help deter the body from making too much acids like we talked about, and then the heartburn tends to resolve itself. Now, acid foods, you know, we talked about them, a little bit of, you know, pickled beets, kimchi, sauerkraut, things that are fermented, okay, help with that pH balance. And what you put into the body does matter. It impacts the foundation of your overall health, and you want to start being more selective about the food choices and this and the portion sizes. And so why risk your health to antacids and proton pump inhibitors? Why would you risk your heart, your kidneys, your digestive tract, your brain, when you can just alter your lifestyle a little and you don't have to pay for drugs? So you have that power right now. You do. Now, if you want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, get their catalog. They do have a digestive section of herbs in their catalog. You'll see that there. It's on their website, too. They have also cardio metabolic strengthening formulas if you need help there. And they have kidney cleanses. And they got a whole bunch of stuff that will empower you beyond belief. You'll be amazed what you can accomplish and do. You'll probably even surprise your own doctor. Yep, you will, because God says herbs are here for the serviceman and healing of the nations, and God can't lie. There's power in that. God's words never come back void. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Get their catalog. It's free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. The website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. If you're outside the U.S., call 828-469-5972. That's 828-469-5972. They do ship to Canada and other areas of the world. So get empowered. If you order the catalog online, they'll send you a hard copy in the mail, but you'll also get a receipt link where you can download it to your computer if you want to do that. So all good ways to get informed and sign up for the newsletters. They're free as well. Just click on books and newsletters and sign up for free there. Oh, I can see by the clock. I am out of time, as usual. And the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.